On this fourth Sunday of Lent, in the season of social distancing, the Webster Presbyterian Church welcomes you to our first ever online worship service. Many thanks to the members of this congregation that have made this all possible. We pray our time together is a blessing to your spirit and souls. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Please join me in the call to worship. God, sometimes the days are long, the nights are even longer, and we're so tired, and then you soothe us and bring us back to gentle places. Sometimes life is moving too fast, and we can't find a moment to breathe. And then you surround us with stillness and bring an even rhythm to our breath. Sometimes we are parched, and it seems nothing will quench our thirst. We are famished, and we can't find anything to eat. And then you refresh us and fill us. Sometimes the valley is dark and the shadows are heavy and we're afraid, but then we feel your strength and we have courage. There are the times when it seems we're up against the world. We will praise you and dwell with you forever, O God. We worship today and always.
Good morning. Let us bow our heads now for this opening prayer. God of love, God of hope, you made this world, but this world feels strange to us now. But God, you are no stranger to us, for you are closer to us than we are to ourselves, and we trust you even during this strange times. The news is full of stories about coronavirus. Some are worried that they might get ill. Others are anxious for family and friends. We worship you, Lord, because we know that you are the shelter in a time of storm. As we worship you this morning, let our worship be a strong prayer for doctors and nurses and every healthcare worker. As we worship you this morning, let our worship be a strong prayer for doctors and nurses and healthcare workers everywhere. As we worship you this morning, let it be a strong prayer for scientists and all who are working to make the world right. We thank you, dear Lord, even in these anxious times, we are certain that you are with us. We trust that you are still an omnipresent God, and that you are with us everywhere that we worship this morning. Guide us now, dear God, that we will worship you in spirit and in truth. And it is in Jesus' name, and for his sake, we all pray together. Amen. Our worship service continues now with the singing of our opening hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Our opening hymn, Joyful, Joyful.
Litany of Confession. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, as you pursue what is good, right, and true.
May Christ give us the light that we may awaken to his truth.
Take no part in works of darkness, but try to learn what is pleasing to God.
May Christ give us the light that we may awaken to his truth.
Please hear the assurance of pardon. Jesus has said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. As we confess our sins to God in Christ's name, he intercedes on our behalf as we are awakened from death to the hope of new life."
And watch this art on your screens. Okay, so most of you know what this is, and many of you have one. This one belongs to my grandson, Cal, and he uses it when he goes camping with his family, and he wears it when he's outside in the summer, playing hide-and-go-seek with friends, and so it helps him to see where he's going in the dark, and when he's camping, it helps him to watch where he's going. He has to go through the woods to a bathroom in the middle of the night. Now, back in Jesus' day, they didn't have headlamps. They didn't have batteries. They didn't have bulbs and flashlights. And so what they did have was a little oil lamp. And this is a little oil lamp. I'm going to show you in my hand. Okay? And see this hole? That's where they put the olive oil up in here. And there's a little rope inside, and there's a little hole that comes out with the rope on top. And they didn't have all of these special little wires, but they would probably use a little stick from their fire, and they would light it like this. And this is a little oil lamp. And it would show their way as they would walk. Now you see how I have to hold it in my hand? But if my hands were full of things when I was walking in the dark, I couldn't put it on my hand, I couldn't hold it in my hand. So they actually would take a piece of leather like this. Now this flame is a little high because I have my rope off. And they would tie it on top of their foot or on top of their sandals, and it would give them just enough light to see their next step. So I'm going to put this right back over here so you can see. Can you hold it, Abby? Abby's helping me today. And so can you pull that out? Because it's a little quiet for me. Thank you. So in Jesus' day, if they were walking at nighttime, they would wear that on their feet. They would tie it on their foot. And it would help them find their way in the dark so that they wouldn't stumble and fall. There's a passage in the Bible that's in Psalms 119, verse 105, that says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And this reminds us that the Word is our Bibles. God's Word is in here. And there are wonderful stories and wonderful lessons for us so that we can learn how to be the way God wants us to be. And they teach us to love everyone and have wisdom. The lessons in the Bible guide us, just like a lamp can guide us. And they keep us safe, and they help us in the night. So this story reminds me of our March memory verse, which is, "We walk by faith, not by sight." And boys and girls, if you know that verse, say it with me. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so I want you to remember this story, that a long time ago they would use a little oil lamp to help guide them, just like my grandson uses his bed lamp. So let's have a little prayer. Say these words after me. Loving God, guide us as we grow.
Guide us as we grow.
Remind us that we have your word.
We
you were once darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will rise from the dead." You must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Is this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "A man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. The Pharisees investigate the healing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, my cup well filled. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Ask me to say to Christians who are experiencing what has come to be known as the novel COVID-19 pandemic, and my answer is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Ask me to say more about what one's attitude should be at such a time as this, and I'll say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Ask me what I know about my walk with God, and I'll say to you, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This morning, I want to take a few minutes and talk about a few of our faith claims. We'll meditate on a few of our faith claims in the 23rd Psalm. Faith is a lot of things, but faith is nothing unless you claim it. The 23rd Psalm helps us claim our faith. It not only helps us claim our faith, the 23rd Psalm helps us to orient our spiritual life. Our efforts to talk about God and to sing about God are done using the language and experience that we are familiar with. Well, after all, what else could we use? The examples for God and metaphors for life with God are drawn from what is already familiar to us. We sing, "A mighty fortress is our God," because we know that fortresses protect. We sing, "Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise." We sing about God as a fountain and a stream that is never ceasing, because we understand that water flows, and we know that God is eternal. Jesus himself used parables that people could understand to describe the kingdom of God. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, similarly, Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he bought it and sold all that he had in order that he might have. Again, here using jewels and treasures, Jesus describes the passion, commitment, lengths, and sacrifices one will go through when one figures out just who God is. He does that so that people will understand that. Now, as I thought about my relationship to the 23rd Psalm and how it helps me claim my faith, I summarized the 23rd Psalm with its opening and its closing words. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to just fast forward and let you know, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For me, my faith claim and my spiritual orientation is right there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My faith claim is that the Lord is my shepherd, and my spiritual orientation is that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've said this before, and I'll repeat saying it. There is a measure of freedom for me, and it should be for you, when you know that you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, knowing that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever frees me to pursue the highest calling of humanity. And the highest calling of humanity is to love. Let me say that again. The highest calling of humanity is to love. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm not going to dwell in Rochester forever. The house of the Lord I will dwell in forever. Not the state of New York or the United States of America will I dwell forever. It is in the house of the Lord that I will dwell forever. There is freedom in knowing your eternal address. Freedom to live in love. Now, I'm going to just say that this sermon could easily be twice as long. We were joking, yesterday, we were joking about how this online medium gives us 4 hours. And I could use that 4 hours, but I wouldn't do that to you. But anyway, if this sermon were going to be twice as long, I'd spend some time reminding you of what the Apostle Paul said when he tells us that love is patient, love is kind, and love does not seek its own way. But the point here is that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I am, you are, free to love. The 23rd Psalm was written in what would be called a pastoral economy, an agrarian economy. It was written at a time when everyone understood something about pastures, everyone understood something about sheep, and everyone understood something about shepherds. To talk about a shepherd would be to talk about someone whose role in the economy you understood. Everybody understood that shepherds take good care of sheep. And the 23rd Psalm begins with the declaration, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The opening line of the 23rd Psalm speaks of absolute confidence in the care of the Lord on this morning of social distancing, on this morning of a global pandemic. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now let me just dig a little bit further here. I have to say that I'm glad that the 23rd Psalm was written several millennia ago in an agrarian and pastoral economy, and not written in today's modern manufacturing economy. Because there is no parallel for the declaration, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see, in today's economy, run by managers of all type, "The Lord is my senior management" would inspire no confidence. You know, corporations are committed to increased profits, shareholder value, and productivity. They're known for layoffs, downsizing. Humanity, flesh and blood are not a priority of the NASDAQ, the Standard & Poor's 500, or the Dow Jones Industrial Index. Today's corporation would ask a sheep to grow double the amount of wool. There's not a lot of security in the modern landscape, and it's pretty unlikely that anyone will say, "The Lord is my manager, I shall not want." But we say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." To the shepherd, every sheep is precious, and the sheep say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Now I'm going to offer some advice right now. Find some downtime with the Lord. In this period of social distancing, There is more time for each and every one of us to be still with the Lord. God is calling us into an eternal, peaceful order of goodness and mercy. But I can guarantee you that you will never see it as long as you are preoccupied with meeting the next deadline and finishing the next project. Take a moment and lie down in the green pastures of God, and take a moment to follow the Lord to still waters. So much of the busyness of life and the failures of society at large is our failure to simply recognize that we serve a God who was prepared to satisfy all our needs. If I make any mistakes in my life, it's because I don't realize that God's got my back. We are to think that in order to satisfy the needs we have, we need to go buy something. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus says to us, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more and more valuable than they? I might have a conversation with Jesus later about that. But who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? The 23rd Psalm helps us to claim our faith. The Psalm can help us orient our spiritual lives. He restores my soul. I am finding in ways that I never expected just how many of life's experiences can be heartbreaking and gut-wrenching. The life of this flesh can be very disorienting, but the 23rd Psalm makes the claim for us. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Life does not have to be disorienting because our shepherd, our God, wants us on right paths. Now, I'm not finished. I said a little while ago, I got up to 4 hours. But I'm going to stop now. But I'm going to give you a summary of my faith, just like I gave it to you at the beginning. I saw somebody look at their watch. It's always fun when a preacher looks out and people are looking at their watches. But let me summarize my faith now with this simple remark. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. That's my summary. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let the church say, those assembled here in this sanctuary, and everybody out there who's patiently dealt with us trying to figure this out this morning, let you all say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hi, Bob. I want to call your attention to a few things, one of which is, if you look on the, well, I don't know where you're going to look for this, but at this point in the service, this is where we take the offering, but what you can do at this point is either mail it in or look in the April pathway for instructions on how to do online giving. Now, I'd like at this time to just go through some prayer requests that were made. Thank you. I just got to say that I'm stumbling because you don't even know how to say how great some of them things are and how wonderful people are. But on your screen right now are some, prayer requests, and I'll just, read them right now. Prayers have come for Josh Honnebrink and his family, Carol Barlow, Joan Mann, happy birthday to Mary Graham, who just had her 90th birthday, and happy birthday to many, many others. To the family of Shirley Fisher,
Ruth and John Fisher, and I can't read the rest of that, but to the family of Shirley Fisher, especially to the family of Matthew Vandergriff on that sudden and tragic loss, to the family of Ruel Reynolds, Don and Nikki George's family, cousin I think that was, and prayers for our congregation to continue its outreach and its support during this very, very difficult times. One of the things that, you know, I feel like I need to say is that there truly is the least of these, you know, who, as many of us are simply struggling with the fact that we have to deal with ourselves, many are struggling with the basic necessities of life. You know, so as we go through these days ahead, you know, continue to think about, you know, just, you know, the mission work that you can do or the gentle work that, any kind of gentle work that you can do. You know, there are many ministries that the church is involved in. I'd like now for us to just bow our heads for a very brief moment of prayer. Gracious, eternal, and everlasting God, we pause now, we tune our hearts and minds toward you, firstly saying thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, for the grace and for the mercy that you have given to us. Thank you, thankful, dear Lord, for everything. Thanking you, Lord, for friends. We're thanking you for family. We're thanking you for loved ones. We're thanking you, even dear God, for the opportunity to be still now and get to know you just a little bit better. We're thanking you now, dear Lord, for doctors and nurses and the people we need to know as not just laborers and not just the bottom of the working chain, but for essential laborers, for nothing that we do right now could happen without those who stock the grocery shelves. We would all starve, dear God. Nothing would happen for us if we were not thankful for and we did not have those who farm the fields and package our vegetables. So we're just saying thank you, dear Lord, and we pray that you'll put it on our hearts and everywhere it needs to be, that we will learn to appreciate those working at all levels and to that we'll use this time to come to value what is truly important. So we ask, dear Lord, now that you'll hear our thanks for your Son, Jesus the Christ, who's been teaching us how to live and is calling us to that highest call of humanity, which is to find ways to love one. But yes, Lord, even as we come to you saying thank you, we come to you as a people in need. We have health needs, we have financial needs, we have needs for a solution to a global pandemic, which all pale in comparison to the single needs in each and every one of us. So we simply ask, dear Lord, that you'll hear our prayers and that you'll accept our petition to you. We ask, dear Lord, that you would do all this and do all things in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And it's for his sake, the people of God all said together, Amen. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Master, how shall we pray? Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, When you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We're singing now?
Yeah, we're singing.
We're going to sing now.
Got it.
Hey, it was right there. Our crack technical team had it right on the screen for me. We're learning how to do this. We're going to sing two verses. We're going to sing, all four verses?
Verses 1 and 2.
We're going to sing verses 1 and 2 of God Be With You Till We Meet Again. That feels interesting, saying till we meet again via these digital highway. Amen. Let us sing. Sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen, and the peace of God will be with you all. And the people all said,